Good evening. Time is 7:01. We'll call the meeting to order. This time, if we could stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this time I'll ask the council to review the June 30th meeting minutes for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Eric, a second? All in favor? All right. Passes with Sally abstaining. We'll ask the council to review the financials.
I can't hear you over here at all.
So we also have, in addition to the standard financials that we have on the monthly, we've created a year-to-date, basically the period, and with a comparison of this year and last year as an additional financial document. This would help from a budgeting perspective of where are we on track for, where are we not on track.
But we did not make copies.
No. You can do that. And we'll make that just part of the standard package.
I'll come with them.
Okay. Just tell them to follow.
Okay. We need a new printer.
Can I make a motion to add something to the agenda while we're waiting?
We'll discuss it when she comes back.
Is this the year-to-date cash flow that Sally puts together? What are the negative miscellaneous revenue? There's a negative 13,555 for the community room / pavilion. And then rent for 3,000. I just wanted to understand it.
It's listed under the cash outflows as a negative, so it shows it as a credit back to the account.
Is that where the auditor's making you put it, down there? Versus the inflows? Huh?
I don't understand this cash flow chart.
Yeah.
The auditor's making me put all my codes in. That's the, I mean,
It's still showing the total amount of that CD, just for the record, instead of the interest income.
That'd be a question for it. Because we cashed the CD and accredited to the accounts, I want to make sure that that's credited correctly from the budget perspective. Mm-hmm. If we need to amend the budget as that, or if we would need to take an additional CD back out, because we were taking it, moving it from the CD account to cash.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, we want to keep it as cash, and that's for
as
we were preparing for road projects. So we would need to amend the income and the expense within the budget to account for that $106,000. I want to get confirmation of that first.
Yeah, I can look into that.
Okay. So, Doug, for your question on that 106 is the way that it shows up. We're looking into if a budget amendment is going to be required due to taking out the CD and depositing it as cash into the account. So it has the increase in the income. And if we now have to have the, balancing the budget itself with the expense with the cash, we're going to confirm how that money is allocated.
But it's not true income for the city.
No.
Is this just a budgeting document?
No, this is cash.
All right, but we're taking the cash from account A and putting it into account B, right?
This is.
But we've always had it.
The reporting for account B is following what you're saying. It's showing that increase of money into that account. Not for the whole city, but for just this account, that money came in.
Okay.
We could describe it as something other than income. The interest would need to be on there, but we've got to show the inflow to this account.
Correct.
Because it's not an expense. It's either an income or an expense.
Why do we have to show it?
It's because it's sitting in the account.
It's like picking up your check.
You make a deposit in your checking account.
Okay.
You've got to show your money coming in.
Yep. We're working with council is going to look into the exact requirement on that transfer
of the budget.
Yep.
Right.
That's in looking at our income, in general, we're $181,000 favorable this year with coming from TSPLOST. But when it comes to state sales tax and SPLOST money, we're about $8,000, $7,500 less than last year. Be curious on the overall revenue or from the taxes. Mm-hmm.
Which lens were you looking at, Chris?
On the income statement, the second and third from the bottom, right above tag tax.
Yeah.
So the ones that seem to be proportionate with expenditures within the county that are taxed, those are both down. On the other hand, we do have a lot more in tag taxes, LMIG, and electricity. The franchise fees are up. Are there any questions on the financials? Any additional questions, I should say?
Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy, has any of the interest rates gone down for any of the accounts? Any of the interest rates?
And
the checking accounts have not changed.
Oh, okay.
They're down over 1%. They're down over 1% from over 100 basis points from last year.
When are they coming for? So when are they coming up?
A couple of them are coming up in July.
So what's the plan?
I don't want to get too far ahead with it, but with having some more of the estimates on the road work components is making sure we have the cash flow on hand to cover the road projects.
Well, do you know a place where we can invest it that is better interest rates?
Yeah. I don't know, better than no, what?
Public funds, a lot of banks don't do public funds.
You could have a financial planner get a better rate. Yeah, the council didn't want to do it when I brought it up last time. I mean, some of them got money market rates at 4.2%, and I don't know if that applies to public funds, but.
We're over 4% still available in the CDs right now.
No, I'm talking about going forward. It's something to explore anyway, but.
If the
CD rates are going down more than 1%, that would put us, what, at 3?
If you got a recommendation you'd like to bring. Or we could add that to the future agenda
okay.
To discuss those options.
I think they're 4% right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're 4%.
4%. Yeah, a little over.
Not for public funds, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
They've dropped from 4.7.
Well, that's real good rights, but I don't think there's public funds.
Who's that?
Okay.
Who's that?
Synchrony.
And so if you'd like to, and we'll look at that at a future, let me know when you'd like to explore that or kind of visit some of the options that are available.
Okay.
Any other questions on the financials? We'll move to our new business, which is the rezone of 724 Manger Avenue. At this time, looking at the timing of when the article has to be placed with the paper and the 30-day time frame, the next available meeting would be able to be August 14th or afterwards. This time I'd like to ask the council to table the rezone application for 724 Manger Avenue until the meeting that's on August 14th or later.
Why are we tabling?
You have to, when it comes to the Wednesday notification and the 30 days that follows the Wednesday notification, so the you have to have the Wednesday deadline to file this week with the paper.
Okay.
Then whenever the paper is published with the notice, then as you move, count forward 30 days.
Will we be having a special meeting at that time or just delaying our August meeting?
We can move the August meeting 1 week early, the August work session 1 week early, or I guess instead of being August 25th, we could move it to August 18th, and that would address both without a special called meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
I would just, what is the motion?
Okay.
To delay, to table this until
August what?
August 18th, 14th, or?
August 18th.
Whatever to, fits the.
Right, and to move the work session to
okay.
August 18th.
And
as
to
well.
Move the work session.
Second.
All in favor? Mm-hmm. All right, passes unanimously. Thank you.
Chris, can I make a motion now to add something to the agenda?
Yeah.
Can we get an update on the engine braking signs for Highway 11?
Ah.
Is there a motion to amend the agenda or second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll add that to item number 6.
Actually, not just that signage. There was some other signage we had been talking about.
All okay. signage.
I mean, not that. That
and yeah. all the update coincides together.
Yeah.
So, item number 2 is the property maintenance code. Just want to check with the council if there's been any discussion, any parts specific for the property maintenance code. Any recommendations?
I've already looked at a lot of the codes and started breaking it down. Some of the things, it's just a matter of voting whether or not we keep something or not keep it. I tried to highlight some of this so that I could bring it up, but there's some that has to do with the code official has the authority to establish a refund policy. I mean, I don't know that we want that in there. There's other things that has to do with what he's allowed to do and not allowed to do, even going as far as authorized to appoint a deputy code official, other related technical officers, inspectors, and other employees. I don't think we want that in there. Just different things like that. As I keep going forward, that's just like the preliminary. Then, like 109.1.5 talks about any type of thing that's in disrepair. And as I mentioned last time, I know there are many sheds or old barns around town that would be considered hazardous. Some are near collapse, and so how do we deal with that? Are we gonna add more codes like these that we're gonna have to deal with? As in, do you want the code or do you want to stay with the codes we've got and try to get them enforced? Or do we want to add more things on top of it? Some of the other things talks about inoperable motor vehicles. It doesn't address here the fact that you can have motor vehicles on your property that are not tagged if they're not put on the road. And that's according to the tag department, because I know we had checked on that in reference to a Jeep that Jerry has, that they said we do not have to have a tag on it. It's not required. But that would be something, again, that's not covered here. It says an overall umbrella type code. Talking about the weeds, again, if we do weeds, we've got to, and it does have a place for you to insert how many inches tall weeds have to be before you code, they're in a violation of the code. Also, would we want to add to that pasture land or vacant open land is not under this code? I know there's properties around me, there's other properties around town that has kudzu on them and all kind of stuff like that. I mean,
we can't enforce these things is what I'm getting at, that are extra above and beyond. And a lot of them, it just keeps going. Codes as far as, let's see, it's talking about a lot of the, it talks about upkeep. When do we confront someone because their house paint is chipping or discolored, cornice or window trim has decay, screen wire on the porch is ripped, etc.? These are all codes that's all put in there. What about the metal carport has rust on it? That's addressed in the code. Who is going to check the glazing on people's windows to make sure it's not cracked? That's in the code.
Wow.
It goes on. And it's not just, and those are the main codes that we're looking at, because then when we get to chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7, it has to do with stuff that is pretty much already covered somewhere, whether it's in our building codes or whatever. So it's really irrelevant because it's already covered, actually in more detail when it has to do with mechanical and electrical stuff, plumbing and fixtures. All of that is in with the codes that has to do with building of life. Then you have that I just mentioned was outside. They even, the next section has to do with the inside of the house and the codes pertaining to it. Again, who is going to check anybody on the inside of their house? That is the main code that we're looking at.
Hmm.
So if we're going to look at that, my thing would be, I mean, if we want to put them for businesses, commercial, industrial, because we have a problem with our businesses not keeping up their properties, then maybe these codes need to be specified as such, that this is what they pertain to. But to pertain to everybody in the city and then to have them out there to maybe be abused, that's uncalled for. I don't think we need that.
So I hear and I understand what you're mentioning, but I'll give a hypothetical right now. If somebody has a residence that has no power, no water, ceiling collapsed, leaking water that's in it, buried trash throughout the property that is reported to the, that is brought up that is something that needs investigation, we need it and the tools, the ability to be able to investigate. There's a discretionary component to code enforcement that the town has when it comes to, I'll let council speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's important to note is when we draft a Bethlehem specific code, we'll put in what you like and we won't put in any of this stuff if you don't want it. So I think that's why my recommendation is let's do something that's right for Bethlehem. And so this is really helpful if you wouldn't mind sending this to me. And I just invite all of y'all to, if there are rules that, as to property maintenance that you like and want to enforce, let me know what those are. And then if there's stuff you really don't like in the International Property Maintenance Code, let me know what that is too. And we can create an ordinance that's correct for Bethlehem. The things that I like the International Property Maintenance Code for are, I agree, not any of the stuff that you have read off. But when it comes to accumulation of tires and trash on the property, that's sort of the most common use case for the International Property Maintenance Code. And it's something that our jurisdictions like to use all the time. Other than that, I don't think you need any of this other stuff unless there are specific provisions that you look at and say, this is what we want here in Bethlehem. But other than those sort of major ones that jump out, I'm not recommending that you adopt all this other stuff. I mean, if you want to adopt the International Property Maintenance Code in its entirety. That's sort of easy, and that's one thing to do. But if you're going to, you know, go through the effort to create a sort of right-sized, applicable Bethlehem Property Maintenance Code, that's what I recommend, and I think that's how we can get through all this extraneous stuff that you never even want to enforce anyway and make a law that actually makes sense. So that's my recommendation, and I just solicit any feedback that y'all have about what you want in there, what you want out for sure, and then I can present y'all a draft, and you can say, we like this, get rid of that, and we can move forward from there.
That code sounds more nitpicky than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that place even exists in those codes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you're never going to find any city that's going to find all that, or everybody would be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, most of that stuff could be left out.
Well, again, that's the standard that's adopted in a very large amount of municipalities. That standard is what's there in a lot of municipalities.
Right.
And it's not, again, there's that discretion component. Just because us as council or those don't like one part, we can work together as a town and we can address something if it's not right for the town. But just if it, you know, for any one of us not suiting, you know, one of our own personal pieces, we have to work for what's best for the town.
Yeah, because we don't want to get nitpicky with it. I mean,
correct.
We want to control it, but not...
Is not passing this code or not having this code in action causing us not to enforce issues currently going on?
There are items that need to be addressed that are not particularly outlined in the UDC, the other parts.
Are we waiting until we adopt the code?
We can either adopt this code or, you know, address a new one or find ways looking through, you know, the additional items to address.
Put the additional items in our UDC.
That's for the development side, not code enforcement.
Yeah.
I do recommend structuring them as separate ordinances. Yep.
And this is something else that I'd put down that I would like to see, and it kind of goes along with this. I don't think it'd be another whole subject, because what we're looking at is trying to see to it that people are doing what they need to do to keep their place up, at least to a certain extent, and not just, you know, as you were describing, not be like that. But what I'd put down here that I'd like to see done, and that's to put on our website, please let the city know if you are in need. If you are in need due to physical limitations or age to get things done around your home, if possible, we will get someone to volunteer to help. If you would like to volunteer to help, please let the city know. This could be for general work, minor electrical, minor plumbing, etc. And if we had something like that on our website and people would help and help each other,
I would.
Some of this might go away.
I would agree with that, but adding additional work to facilitate managing that component is adding extra work to do that. If you have volunteer organization that were to step up within the community to do that, what I'm advocating is saying that from a town, we only have so much work that Kathy can do on a given basis. So yes, it's small and I would not anticipate a large component of it, but tracking, having a separate list to track who can do what piece, and then having to make those calls and adding those components is added work to Kathy.
Maybe we could add it to somebody else.
The mayor pro tem.
Why does everybody look at me?
I don't mind keeping up with the list if the phone calls come to me and keep up with the list of who needs what.
There must
and,
be a lot of issues at your
and house. Who can do what. And if we can't do it, then we can't do it. I mean, this is if possible.
I would suggest, I know other places do this, it's more if they need help like keeping up with their landscaping, like mowing, there's a limb.
And that might be part
Not anything involving contractor work, electrical and plumbing, that's a whole, but like if there was a vet, an older family or older person you know, we could probably get the scouts or the church or somebody would come out and mow and clean up the yard. But to try to have a list of electrical people, and I think that might be getting into the weeds.
If they want to volunteer, though, I would think that, I mean, when I say minor, you know, my light switch doesn't work anymore, and I can't put on my light in the bathroom.
If you're an electrician and you walk in and you work on someone's house and that house burns down, that's their license.
Well, the same.
Mowing a yard and trimming some bushes is a different story. Yeah.
It's actually not, though.
If somebody's
cutting grass on your property from volunteer piece,
throwing a rock or something,
you still have liability. And if we're facilitating.
Mm.
There's a lot of volunteer organizations that exist to help with that today.
So maybe try to brainstorm different volunteering type of organizations out here.
There are Rotary, Habitat for Humanity, men's clubs
and
churches.
Give out to people that are in need.
Family Connection does that, Barrow County Family Connection. They have nonprofit list of different groups that do things.
I bet I know somebody that could get their hands on that for me.
Perhaps.
So, kind of go back to the maintenance code. While, you know,
yes,
I appreciate the comments with it, if we were to look at one for the town, of creating a town-specific property maintenance code, what would be an estimated cost to create the property maintenance code?
Because you all seem to want it to be fairly simple. I mean, I really think we're talking 3 to 5 hours of work. So $600 to $1,000, probably less.
And that's if we exceed the retainer hours.
Correct.
For the month.
That's correct.
So at this time, we could have the council vote to create, to authorize the spending of $1,000 for a council to create a property maintenance code specific for the town.
Well, me myself, I'd rather go that way than to start just voting in.
Yeah, you don't
all
want to
these
vote
rules
in that,
to go by all these codes that's just writing codes to be writing codes.
Blah 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 blah. And it covers the gnats and everything.
Aren't we at a disadvantage by not having any code at all versus adopting a code, Jack? And then amending it to our specific needs. I mean, we're always waiting to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how many issues we got outstanding right now, but this is like, let's adopt this code and then fix it, then make it specific to us.
You certainly could. And in terms of how quickly we could get a, you know, Bethlehem specific code adopted, I mean, we could do that as soon as the work session at the end of this month. So just the next time we get together.
Okay. Are there any critical outstanding issues, Chris?
Just one. That I'm aware of. So, and it could wait till the end of the month if we were to have, but you would have the policy written. We have to have public hearing, no public hearing on the policy. Nope. But any changes would then need to be incorporated and then brought back the following week. So if we did it at the work session on July 28th, we'd be able to either approve it in its entirety or request revisions and then potentially adopt by the following week.
Correct.
And you'll be absent from the 28th or 5th.
I think I am too.
Well, actually, that's July 28th, not the August.
Yes, I am too. I am out of town.
The other possibility, while short-lived, is to adopt the current code. And then whenever the new code is done, is to replace it.
We don't have to enforce everything.
You are correct.
Yeah.
We could just say it's a boilerplate.
Correct.
And then replace it.
Well, didn't we go over where we would have somebody look at it and then come to us and say about it?
Say that
again?
We
talk about that, where he would go out and find whatever it was, and he would come back to us and tell us about it?
That's not in the policy for our code enforcement, is not to be driving around the town looking. It's a call in, you know, that clerk is notified or myself are notified.
Mm-hmm.
Then we look at it for what's going
possibly
on.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. What would the, any guidance or recommendation on that?
I think given the pace we've been on, I don't think it's the end of the world to wait one more month.
Okay.
But I also don't think I don't think we run into any problems by adopting now and selectively enforcing either. But, you know, I tend to, as a matter of policy, recommend that you don't put a bunch of ordinances on the books that you don't actually want there.
And you don't intend to, okay.
So, but ultimately it's a policy decision for y'all to make. There are not legal drawbacks for either option.
But if we aren't here, there's still enough votes to, or enough people to vote.
Oh, we just need three of us, right?
Right.
That's correct.
That's correct. So, with that said, we could, there's a motion to authorize up to $1,000 to be spent towards the creation of the Bethlehem-specific property maintenance standards.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? That passes. Thank you. Okay. Item number three in the new business is CPL estimate for road work bid prep. Meeting is on Friday at 1:00. Right now it's currently a Teams meeting, but with the possibility of meeting on site. So this Friday at 1:00. And that date.
What are you doing Friday at 1?
Meeting with CPL to review the road work for the bid that's being prepared.
For their bid?
Correct. Looking at the scope that would be entailed with it. You know, as the previous one with the two different components was close to $250,000, so we're going to review exactly what's needed through that scope to what's truly needed through those parts and make. And I'll, you know, bring forth any recommendations, discussions from that meeting. And again, if meeting in sight, we can have people present for that meeting. Teams meeting is limited to, if that's correct, to two council members plus myself.
That's correct. It shouldn't be more than that.
This is a road work we've already approved, right?
No, this is looking at the full scope, creating all the plans that we've looked at on Shepherd Street, other repairs throughout the town as well.
This was the extra money over and above what we approved.
Mm-hmm. So, that is my update for the roadwork bid prep. Okay. Item number 4 on the agenda, if there's any questions, is the code enforcement policy. Currently this week, I'm speaking with CPL code enforcement officers on vacation this week, and we'll be addressing items next week.
How's that rolling along, the code enforcement officer?
Well, as far as not all of the paperwork is in this week.
So he hasn't actually started.
Right, he's been sworn in. We've got all of the materials ordered. We have not been able to, now that he's on vacation, where
sure.
We talked about it last week.
Oh, sorry.
And we only have one code enforcement officer that's been sworn in with the way that we're set up.
Were we doing more than one? Oh, okay.
No.
Nope. Okay.
Are there any questions?
I guess not. So when is he starting then?
Oh, next week.
Okay. Okay.
How many code enforcements is he dealing with?
I think we've got 4 items that we were looking to address, the ones that we previously discussed to begin with. Any other questions? All right, item number five on the new business is amendments to the UDC. Those are being worked on currently and will be available on the July 28th meeting to present to the council. Which both of you will be gone on the 28th. We can move that to the August, to the following August 4th meeting. That's not a...
So August 4th?
Correct. Everyone will intend to be here on August 4th. Okay. Are there any questions? Okay. All right. Added item number six on the agenda is the engine brake and signage. So I have a call tomorrow with GDOT to discuss signage in several locations and places throughout. So it's not just the engine braking, it's, you know, it also covers the welcome to Bethlehem signs.
Well, I was driving through Good Hope today and I saw no engine braking. I said, if the little town of Good Hope on State Highway 83 can do it, we ought to be able to do it.
And what about the one about the big trucks not sleeping on the ramps?
That's the whole discussion with GDOT on multiple parts of the signage.
And the one about the mileage that says Bethlehem's 1 mile away, and it's like...
Right when you're in the city limits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the town limits, yes.
Well, you know, the one down the street has city limit sign, and our city limits is actually way before that.
It's a part about fixing signage along Highway 11. Correct. There's multiple areas that
well,
the signs...
that's on Star.
Yeah. So but the engine yes. braking signage is on the call for tomorrow.
And that's all of them, or is there something else?
No, there's a couple other, but it's not related to the signage.
Okay.
Put your sign up there for the truckers. Go to next exit, Bethlehem.
On your side.
Across from Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
I mean, that's where they're all parking.
Yes.
That and on Chick-fil-A side, right there. I mean,
yeah,
10 or 15, anytime you go by. From the racetrack?
Yeah, that's where you can see some of the other.
Yeah, they park and sleep there.
So, signage will be, I'll touch base with you.
You will?
Tomorrow.
You do have to have a supporting ordinance. That's correct. And
we don't have that. So we can't put the sign up.
That's a question with GDOT as well. If there's no ordinance cited and it's more of a keeping honest people honest sign.
Yeah, I don't recommend putting up signage without the supporting ordinance.
We need the ordinance number to put on the sign. Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't, the ordinance number doesn't have to appear on the sign, but in order to have any sort of enforcement to back up the sign, you got to have an ordinance.
We can't call the sheriff and say, see you.
Get it.
No, you can't. Not yet.
Yeah, Good Hope does have a police force part-time. So.
Good Hope.
So for us, from an enforcement perspective, that is, you know, using the sheriff's department.
Could have used it on Harold's drive last night.
If we have the ordinance.
Rednecks fighting.
Oh, good.
So we need to add that.
So from the ordinances we've discussed, and we can draft an ordinance to.
That can go on my list as well.
It's the same damn truckers all the time.
You can draft an ordinance and have that to review, but the follow-up piece, we'll still discuss this with GDOT tomorrow.
Yes, correct.
Okay. That'll work. And so we would vote on the ordinance once it's drafted in front of the council.
That's correct.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you can't have the signs made, but before you put them up, we got to pass the ordinance.
It does take a bit.
All right. Are there any other questions?
I don't think so.
A motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Oh,
wait.
Correction.
Hold it.
I would like to amend the agenda for one more item to address. And that is for the Cheercats to have a car wash fundraiser at the town.
The Appalachian Cheerleaders.
There a motion to amend to add the Appalachian Cheerleaders?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor? Thank you. That passes. Okay. So the Appalachian Cheercats have asked to put on a car wash fundraiser within the town. So I think this could be viewed similar, that we cannot donate the water and the use of the space, but if they were to rent the shelter, or shelter, the community center, they could do the car wash in the parking lot to have the visibility, or use the pavilion area. Not sure, biggest visibility. Did they tell you which location they were wanting?
So if they rent this, it's 450?
Correct.
Out, straight out of their profits?
Well, can we amend the rent to $45 to cover the cleaning cost, like we did last week?
There's the cost of water as well.
Waters.
$75?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That works. So, is there a motion to?
Motion to let them have a car wash for a fundraiser, Appalachia, with a fee of $75.
Do you think we're setting a precedent?
And use the community room too.
I'm sorry.
And you're saying let them use the community room too.
Yeah, for $75. That's what I thought.
We may be setting a precedent.
Well, we did last meeting, you weren't here.
I mean, I'm not crazy about letting
them
use the community room.
Well, I'm just thinking about every ball team, every.
So to use the pavilion would work.
And it might be better, especially with a car wash and a bunch of kids being wet and sloppy and having some water fights and et cetera.
You still have restroom facilities as well.
And you have restrooms down there.
So they bring them through the gate and, okay.
Their visibility is going to be compromised down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, all the traffic's out. Unless they had kids standing down there with signs.
They're going to have that anyway, even if they're here. You still have a little bit of a blocking of the view. You're going to have them out there with signs.
Do you know when they're wanting to do it?
I haven't called her back.
Okay.
It'd be finalized if they were, because we haven't negotiated those terms completely. But if they, you could do a motion, $75 to use the pavilion on a Saturday or Sunday for the car wash fundraiser.
I guess that the pavilion's not booked.
For as long as it's not booked, we're not going to move somebody else out. And that's really for one fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they can have kids up here with signs like they do at every place. And we have no water out there on the front.
What out here?
And then, no, the, yeah, in the parking lot.
Off down there because
yeah,
the water.
All of a sudden, all.
They would have to bring their own hoses.
Right. No, they will bring their own hoses.
I think, you know, at a $75 rate to use the pavilion one time, Saturday or Sunday, not taking the use from somebody else.
Maybe someone could use it in the evening if they're out there.
Is there a motion to use the pavilion one time use on a Saturday or Sunday for $75? for the fundraiser.
I make that motion.
Second.
All in favor? Passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, now is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
No.
No.
Thanks, everybody.
This means that the public hearing will be on the 18th.
Oh, let me give you those. I'll just give it to you now. And I have, where'd I put them?
They're usually done by 4:30 or 5. Take a book. Right. I like jury duty.
Pretty much going through most of it. But again, like I was saying there, you know, your last few chapters.
Yeah, it's really electrical.
It's all other things.